And we're back, and obviously this is like a super two-parter episode, so if you're listening right now, you're probably, if you're starting this and you haven't listened to part one, we suggest you listen to part one. But if you just want to listen now, this one has more of a focus on, I guess, local adventures.
Yeah.
But as per usual, I'm still Chris Shorten, still with me is Jeff G, still with me is Paul Christoph. So we're pretty much going to have a chat about, so while I was gallivanting around Europe, these guys, actually technically I was back at this point, but I just didn't have the heart to actually fly up to Sydney the day that I got back from Sydney.
Which was unacceptable. Like, if you didn't edit this thing, we would have kicked you off the podcast, basically, for that sort of behavior.
Which is kind of understandable, I get that.
But luckily.
So I thought we'd actually talk about your adventures, which, you know, from what I saw on Instagram, and I saw a lot of Instagramming, it was, you guys went nuts.
We were dedicated to the cause.
Yeah.
I was editing photos last night on the computer. I put the memory stick. It's like 476 photos. What the? It's like, Sydney. Actually separating each lot of photos by venue. It's like, Jesus Christ. Christ, that's a lot for 3.5 days.
I know. We got out and about, basically.
Yeah.
It was...
So we should point out this was...
Sydney Craft Beer Week,
which was the 17th to the 25th of October, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I left here at lunchtime on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed up there. So Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and pretty much all day Sunday. So cool at the end.
Which is a hard slog on the liver, really.
It was intense.
Well, the thing is,
Someone
explained to me, like, you know, someone asked me the question. It's like, oh, what did you do on the weekend? I said, oh, you know, it's pretty intense. I went up to Sydney and did this, and this. And they said, like, how does that differ from any other normal weekend that you would have? And I said, that's a good point that you raise. But I think we were actually reasonably, at least for the first 2 days, definitely quite controlled. Like back in the hotel by about 11 o'clock.
A lot of sharing beers.
Yeah, well slept.
Water in between.
That's right. So I think we managed that aspect of it quite well. Saturday was the we'll get to it. Saturday was kind of the main event, which Saturday was intense.
So tell me about the tour.
It was just basically let's hit up as many craft beer bars as we can.
Yep.
And while we're at it, meet up with as many friends from
various
friendship groups.
Paul's got his friends up there. I've got mates up there, like the guys who I work with. They're always keen for a beer after hours and all that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, and it was really good. There's literally not actually anything more to it than that. It was just going to a lot of different bars and drinking lots of different beers with friends.
But I guess a few observations. So the first day we were up there, so Thursday we flew in and we were staying in near Haymarket, near Central. And so that's near Surry Hills. So we thought we'd hit the Surry Hills, Darlinghurst kind of craft beer bar scene. So, you know, let's drop some names. So we went to
Keg and Brew,
Dove and Olive, the Royal Albert, and the Bitter Few is where we finished up. And we had non-beer related dinner in between. So... And the one thing that I would say about the most Sydney craft beer places as opposed to Melbourne craft beer places, so in the Ale House here, you would call this a bar. You wouldn't really call this a pub where we're sitting. Yeah. The places in Sydney, they're all generally like old school pubs that at some point in time woke up one morning and decided, hey, we need to up our game, or not need to, we want to up our game in terms of the beers that we deliver. And so they basically went, right, we're going to install, you know, like, so, I mean, the... Keg and Brew's got 30 taps, Dove and Olive's got 24 taps, and it's pretty much all craft. Like, you know, there's 4X Gold and there's Chewies and stuff, but the vast majority of it is craft beer. So they basically decided to, it's kind of like the Great Northern in Melbourne, like what they did. They basically said, you know, the Rainbow. We are an old school pub. We're going to keep that old school feel, but we're just going to upgrade our beer selection, our food selection.
Like, you walk off the street, walk past it on the street, and
you would not know.
You'd think these are just standard bars that have been around for 100 plus years. Even walk inside, there's, you know, your sort of, you know, your table with the old guys that have been coming here forever, table with the high vest blokes that have knocked off work early, and it's cool. And then there's some hipsters over there and some bearded folk over there. Like, it's a real They're very approachable places, actually.
Which is actually great.
It's like, really cool.
Because I mean, as much as we love the establishment we're sitting in at the moment, you tend to get a fairly homogeneous crowd of people in here. Whereas in those places,
it's a beard crowd.
You get a bit of everybody, which is awesome, right? Yeah. Like, it's really, really cool. So,
okay, the bigger question is, I mean, you brought up, like, the old people and you brought up, like, the high-vis people. Were they drinking craft beer?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Because, I mean, and this is the problem with that badge on Untappd where you take photos and you put photos of beer up on it. Like, it's very hard to tell from just looking at a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether if you did the Cicerone course, whether you would then just be able to look at a beer and go, that is clearly,
is a double hopped Glenlivet.
Exactly. It's America, it's West Coast, it's an IPA, it's 2015, it's the Stone. I don't know if you can do that at the end of the Cicerone course just by looking at a beer. I don't know. Maybe you can. But we can't, so we couldn't do that.
But it's interesting, though.
I think the important point to make, and that's when back to our sort of original point of your, a Little Creatures Pale Ale, a Mountain Goat Steam Ale, is those beers, they're not expensive beers.
No. Nope.
But they are very, you may be paying 50 cents more for a pint than you would a real standard sort of beer.
And let's be honest, you're probably not going to notice how much you're paying if it's that minimal.
Yeah.
And you're going to notice if you're paying, $12 for a pint versus $8 for a pint.
Or $12 for a pot instead of $8 for a pint. Like,
I think that goes back to our original point where it's people that probably wouldn't have drunk craft beer. They'll be like, well, okay, this is pretty much the same price as what I drink normally.
Let me try.
But it is actually a much better beer.
Yeah.
And that'll convert them. And, guys that may have been going into that pub for 20 years and drinking, Tui's New. Tui's New is probably about 20 years old now, isn't it? But,
Not Tui's old.
Not Tui's old. Maybe they like Tui's old. But, they might move on to something that's well-priced craft. It's not doing anything spectacular, but it's a much better version of a lager or a pale ale.
And all the venues, we didn't actually go to that many ticketed events. We mostly spent our time just cruising around places where there were just, we knew they were craft beer places, and we knew they had so Dove and Olive had a Rogue Tap Takeover, and Keg and Brew had Sierra Nevada, and Royal Albert had Modus, actually, on the day we were there. So they would have just different, and we knew that they were cool beer places, and we knew they would have something on. And
won the award as well for their best IPA, whatever it was, the one we had.
Oh, was that the red, the former Tenant?
The special one they released, the Simeon... Something Simeon?
Oh, it was a long time ago now. It's like at least a week and a half. Like, it's a long time ago. I can't remember things.
And the craft beer scene in Sydney, it's amazing. I mean, I was there by chance, actually, for craft beer week 2 years ago, and there weren't that many local craft beer places. There weren't that many craft beer bars.
Yep.
And a lot of the craft beer bars, the majority of their taps were actually Victorian beers or with some Western Australian stuff. Now... there are so many New South Wales craft brewers. It's amazing.
I agree. I mean, I'm in Sydney probably about once every 6 weeks just for work, and I'll always, and I've really noticed it's the same as you did, this evolution over the last few years of just the explosion in, and part of it is liquor licensing. Part of it's the liquor licensing. They redid the regulations and now you can have smaller venues, basically. You don't just have to be, like the Ivy or the establishment and therefore have to stock macro lager because that's the only way you can ship that much beer in the amount of time, So it's great.
And I think a lot of bars now, they're seeing there's an impetus to, they're seeing the value, I should say, in pulling out of that dependence on the pokies as well. Because in New South Wales, it is ridiculous. I mean, coming from Western Australia, that we don't have pokies. And then, being in Melbourne now, I came here, I was like, oh, yeah, there's a few bars of pokies, that's odd. And then the first time I went to Sydney, it was just, this is ridiculous.
Every bar has pokies.
And ironically, the one bar that we said we were going to go to and we didn't end up going to was the Lord Raglan.
Yeah, that's right.
So we walked past it when it was shut, just by coincidence, and we never ended up going there. But that's a bar that is actually, they specifically advertise, amount of taps, craft beers, no pokies. They pulled out all the pokies and said, we're actually going to try and make some money by just being a better pub.
Which is an interesting thing. Really, I mean, because I guess in the 90s, pokies were everywhere. And you couldn't move for them, basically. And then we've slowly got rid of them over the years as, people have realised that they're fucking awful.
So you say there's less in Victoria than there used to be?
Oh, much less, yeah. That a lot of people... because I guess they're a bit of a stain, really. They sort of
they're terrible.
Yeah.
So, I criticise Western Australia, for being behind these estates in various things that they do. But the whole, no pokies is something that you'd be political suicide. Nobody would vote for a party that said we're going to introduce pokies. A few parties have toyed with it over the years, and it's just... It's a great thing. It's just great. Yeah. It's nice to just go to pubs in there.
Just pubs there for drinking and eating and talking to your mates and watching sport, basically. Yeah.
Which is a very...
It's like the German purity laws. Like, there are only four things should be in a pub, only four things should be in beer. Same thing.
Yeah.
But, and it's strangely kind of like the English rule, where all the pokies there... are in like the weird casinos.
Yeah.
Which just...
Exactly.
Even if you go anywhere near them, you're sort of like, you feel dirty. You feel weird.
Like if you're in London, like you're walking like around Leicester Square, is it the Hippodrome that's around?
Yes, though, interestingly.
That place is just weird, man. Like,
though, interestingly, there's a review on the City Lane of the Hippodrome.
There is.
Is this a steak one?
The steak. Some of the best steak you can actually get in the UK. USDA prime steak.
Nice. That suits with what's the second place of the
and the gambling money actually subsidizes it, so you can. It's probably the best value steak.
Isn't it the Sydney place that has the good steak?
There is a place in Sydney that does light entertainment and actually an unexpectedly nice steak on a Friday lunchtime for $10.
It's always good to know.
It is useful to know these things. But the main event, Saturday. Saturday was the main event. So after 2 days of moderate drinking, we got up on Saturday morning and we went to...
We walked to breakfast.
We walked to breakfast.
Realised how close the airport and Sydney's... Yeah.
Like, it's an hour and a half walk from Haymarket, where we were staying, to the airport.
Right.
So the Rocks Brewery is in Alexandria, which is... Two suburbs down from
that's
airport,
right.
Maybe.
So it's like an hour walk to breakfast.
Yeah, okay. Like an hour walker. And that's moving. Yeah. And that was intense. That was eight courses?
It was six courses with eight beers.
Oh, look at that.
I even have it was called the Hair of the Dog breakfast. And so they did the beers pretty well. So they started with a Saison, went through a Pilsner, and then a Golden Ale.
But we started with a pre-beer.
Right, of course.
Sour cherry porter.
Yeah. Makes sense.
How you start your day.
Wait, this was breakfast.
This was 10:30 in the morning we started. So six courses, eight beers, and building up from a Saison through to a Scotch Ale, and in fact smoked stout to finish. So that was...
How were you still upright?
And the food was amazing. So it ranged from such elegant dishes like a beetroot cured ocean trout with rye crostini, beetroot relish, and sour cream, to French toasted sandwich with maple roasted bacon and oozy Gippsland brie.
And that was amazing.
I don't know how you guys survived this.
Anyway, so that was really good.
Wait.
Just around the corner from Australia's first drive-through ATM.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Sydney's first drive-through ATM.
Which is just weird.
That's chaos.
What for?
You see.
All right, right. No, I need to ask. What size were the beers that went with all this food?
So these ones were... So I think if you got like a 500ml bottle, it was between two people. So you're probably looking at about 200... mils-ish.
Yeah.
That's still a lot.
But there was the our third friend that was always in the toilet. So there was Jeff and I and a friend of ours, Ross, he won't mind his mind, his name being said.
We'll wait for the lawsuit.
Then there was an empty seat next across from me next to Ross.
That's right.
And there were the two people on the side of us. So we came to a gentleman's agreement with them that basically we would alternate. So whenever the missing fourth person would get their beer...
That's right.
We would take one and they would take the next one.
That's right. Yeah,
proper beer venture.
And it was, I mean, the guys serving us clearly knew there was no one there. They didn't care.
Someone had obviously paid for it. So it's not like, you know, because the thing was a sellout.
The annoying thing is, I had a friend that wanted to go. And they were like, no, really. I emailed the organisers of the Sydney Beer Craft. They were like, no, sorry.
So that was your friend who joined us after.
My other friend, whose name I won't mention.
So we did that, and then we went. So from there, we thought, you know, well, we've got. Then we had a dinner planned at 7 o'clock. So this is 1 o'clock. So I thought, all right, how are we going to fill the time if 1 at 7?
What a difficult situation.
So we went to Young Henry's in Newtown, which is a really cool space.
Really cool space. Mm-hmm. It is just a massive warehouse.
Yeah,
but it's just
truck out the front.
I do like
cool.
Young Henry's.
It's just a really cool.
Yeah.
I saw them on Instagram. I see a lot of cool things happening there.
And then we went to Mary's Burgers, which.
Yeah, because what you do after having a six-course breakfast and a six-course dinner planned is have some burgers and fried chicken.
And fried chicken, which was...
We had to, because you and neither you nor Ross had been.
That's right.
So it's like, well, you have to.
and contractual obligation.
But also, just like they have an awesome beer selection.
It's a cool
like,
menu.
I took a photo of like their beer menu. Like they had, they've got. I think they've got their. I don't think they brew the beers themselves.
No.
They obviously have a relationship with someone. They made a beer called the Slayer Juice. So I kind of I have to have that.
They do a bacon breakfast Bloody Mary.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Right.
So that was awesome. And then we went to Earl's Duke Joint, which is just down the road.
So cool. So we're joking. So we're walking down Newtown and whatever the main street is there. And one of Jeff's other mates is there. And I'm like, they're probably going to take us to the butchers there. So, yeah. So the butchers, it's not a butchers. But it looks like a butcher's. Like an old school Italian 1960s butcher.
Nah.
And then you open the door and it's this
awesome
bar. Juke joint themed, really cool bar.
So it's like the barbershop in Sydney.
Yeah, which we also did go to on Friday.
Right, that's right.
Which you know, you can go through that weird alley behind, or you can go the front door, which is through.
So another really cool story about the alley, which I'll digress here. And well, this is a bumper episode, so we can talk for a bit longer. We went there to barbershop. So it's off York Street. It's just a actual barbershop. But you walk in and then you open up the silver door at the back and it's a really cool bar. Jim is their focus.
Cool guys.
But yeah, they've got a really, really friendly service and everything. And you will go to the back and there's a laneway, and on the other side of the laneway is the entrance to Baxter's Inn, which is another very cool bar, whiskey focused. But there was this little sort of AstroTurf and a table
awesome.
With four chairs. And there were four of us. We're like,
how convenient.
So we decided to take a break from the beers, and we all had gin-based. We all had G&Ts, but with different gins.
Different gins and different teas as well.
Yeah, different tonics, yeah. So they're very, very much into their gins and tonics and the pairings. Very cool place. And we're like, we'll go out there. It's a beautiful day. And the guys are sorry, guys. I know, look, I hate having to say this to you, but licensing, people can only smoke out here. We're not actually allowed to, people aren't allowed to drink out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's a shame. It's a beautiful area, but yeah, you know, he's like, yeah, sorry, guys. I'm like, no, look, that's cool. If that's your licensing, that's what it is. He said, yeah, look, we've been trying for about 9 months to get this sorted, and just regulations councils. Oh, okay. Went back inside. About
5 minutes later.
The guy, he's on his mobile. He comes up to us. So, yep, thanks, mate. Yep, cool. Okay, see ya. Hangs up his phone, says, guys, that was liquor licensing on the phone. After we finally got our license approved. So
at that precise moment,
go outside. So we're the first people to drink outside. And they're quickly rolling out like more AstroTurf and setting up more seats that they'd obviously had planned for 9 months. And
so you guys were on the cusp of history here.
So it was very cool. And it's, I mean, completely non-beer related, but yeah, cool bar. And Baxter's.
Really, really awesome.
Now you can drink in the later.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that was the part, because Jeff had recommended that to me when I was in Sydney last.
Yes, I had.
And I went to all of those places. And it's just, it's the nice, I guess, because you don't realise, or at least even people there told me that, you know, this is really new, like, in terms of what they can do now.
Yeah, like, people still have that image of, you know, Melbourne's got all the cool small bars, Sydney's just the big beer buns. That is just not the case now.
Yeah,
it's been probably about, 4 or 5 years ago the first lot of licensing changed. And Sydney has a lot
of
cool small bars.
And now that enough time has passed where there are a lot of awesome places up in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could do another whole podcast on that.
But back to Saturday.
We talked about Saturday.
So
the dinner.
Mary's, Earl's, then we went to dinner.
So at the Quarryman's in Pyrmont, it was a three-state IPA meat dinner. So it's basically meat dishes paired with six IPAs. And so this one, it was basically 6 courses and 6 beers, but the beers were all full-size beers. So you're basically talking full serve of beer.
And the meals were all, each meal was like a full-size meal.
And all the beers, like, so I'm reading the piece of paper now. So 7.5, 7.5, 4.8, 7.5, 9.2, 9.5.
I don't understand how you guys are still alive at this point.
And well.
Funny you should say that.
So we got to course two.
Mm.
And my friend Ross, guys, I gotta go home. I can't do this.
And you and I, we ate the food.
We ate the food.
But we had just beers just stacking up in front of us. Like,
so,
drink like a bit of beer and like eat and then go, oh.
So we got to, you know, course number four, and there were just, I think I drank through all my first beer, and then there was just, the beers were piling up. The next ones were coming and we'd barely touched the first ones. And then you fell asleep at about course five.
That's right. And I think I woke up in time.
You woke up in time for the short ribs, which are basically like Flintstone style.
Well, see, I'd like to think you woke up because, Like he's the scent of the ribs came in.
So, yeah, an amazing event to go to, but you don't want to be drinking or eating too much before that. Really good value for money.
Right. Yeah. So next year, when we go, we'll definitely do this, but we won't probably...
We won't do the other thousand things.
Either the breakfast or the dinner. If we do both, we need to go back to the hotel and sleep in between or something. Yeah. Something needs to give.
Drink water.
Yeah, that's right.
All of that stuff.
Because you know how much I love a beef rib, right? The fact that I got through a third of that, then had to go like, I have to tap out now.
The two of us just looked at each other about halfway through eating the beef ribs, and we're just like, home. It's like, yep.
Yeah, we just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
I don't even recognize you guys anymore.
It was intense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, like we're lucky. We're not back like, on twice by midday. Size. Like, you know, we were back. Yeah. So the next day, we went to the Sydney Tap House and met up with some friends up. So some of your mates and some of my mates were there and. That first beer, that was tough.
Yeah.
That first beer was
all right. So we should tie this together before we go on to the next beer. What were your give me a highlight. Give me something
you
that.
You haven't discussed Tokyo.
No, that's right. Maybe we can
save
talk
it
about
for next week.
Talk about that next week.
Yeah.
All right. Give me something that Sydney Craft Beer Week did very well.
I would say value for money events, both the breakfast and the dinner. Like a lot of the Melbourne craft beer week events, I've found there's some good ones. There are also some ones that you look at them and you're just like, no way, I can't pay that for this.
Yeah.
Were the ones we went to, but even looking at the list, a lot of the reason why we didn't go to a lot of ticketed events. Because they weren't actually offering much that was different than what we've already had in Victoria.
Yep.
But if you were, you know, from Sydney, you know, come down to Melbourne for Beer Week, you'd go. They're really good events. And there were a lot of really good value events. I think just amazing beers and some amazing looking food.
I agree, because the breakfast at $55 was an absolute bargain, like the six courses and eight beers. I mean, the dinner was like $95, and it was like amazing as well. So, yeah, I think they did that really well. I think the other thing is just I just think that just Sydney Craft Beer Week is just continuing to just
each
demonstrate
year.
Just the breadth that the Sydney craft beer scene has. I think it's something that is, I think it's appreciated, but probably still under. I think or maybe just unappreciated by people in Victoria. I think we just like, you know, because there's a whole Melbourne Sydney rivalry, like we're better than them. It's like, well, you know, it's like it's just different.
I think with Melbourne, we're in that position where that we've got so much choice anyway. That the idea of straying beyond our own borders, it isn't necessarily that we don't want to. It's just that we haven't had enough time to get through the stuff that's within our own borders.
Yeah, but I think it showed to both of us that just where the scene has gotten to, and just that it's just
cool.
It's really
like,
awesome.
Yeah, the whole Melbourne Sydney thing is just dumb. Yeah. Right? They're both awesome cities,
right.
And there's lots of cool shit happening in both of them.
And I love it because I go up there reasonably often. Like it means I've just got plenty of places to go to. It's amazing.
And, all right, so beer number two, and this is our last beer. I know it's been a very, very long episode. This is part two, obviously. So let's go to it. So what are we drinking?
This is the Crossbreed CD Goat, so by Mountain Goat Brewing. So we thought we'd have a Mountain Goat beer. They just had their birthday.
They're all grown up now. They're 18 years old.
That's right. They are.
And that was one of the lovely inhabitants of East Brunswick.
Possibly less grown up than Mount Goat. So, it is a porter. It is done with coffee by, is it Seven Seeds?
Seven Seeds.
And
who are a big coffee place in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Yep.
Where are they, is it?
North Melbourne,
Seven
I think.
Seven Seeds.
Yeah.
In North Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think they'd supply like auction rooms and stuff like that with coffee. Anyway, so coffee porter. We're dealing with 6.2%. And it's part of Mountain Goat's like their rare breed series. So they periodically make these beers. They sort of aside from the, it's essentially their seasonal range. Basically, it's the crossbreed rare breed kind of series essentially. So
it's been a while since I've done a coffee porter. Apparently,
well yeah. So if you look at on Untappd, you search for it. Yes, they did a 2011, a 2012, and then 3 year gap.
And they conveniently forgot for 3 years.
Very interesting.
But
I mean, they have done other stuff. In
interestingly,
between, so.
And the first two crossbreeds were IPAs. American IPA. So the IPA American. Isn't that just an APA then?
Well,
what's the difference between an American IPA and an APA?
Well, no. Well, there's an American.
So
an
that's IPA the sort of question I would ask. Mm-hmm.
So an American IPA would have more, would be more hoppy than an APA, and would tend to be more alcoholic. I think what they're trying to differentiate it from is actually an English IPA. And English IPAs are, you know, the thing you get off the hand pump, and like, yeah, tend to be less. Use different hops, less of that, like less of, you know, the Galaxy, Citra, all of that, like real fruity stuff. And yeah, so I think that's what they're trying to do there.
Right.
But in that way, they are being quite confusing.
Right. All right. So what do we think about this?
I like it. So I had it about 2 weeks ago and checked my Untappd score, and I will be sticking with that. It's definitely a porter. It's not too heavy. It's well, it hits the right sort of balance between flavour and alcoholiness, given the percentage that it is. Coffee is definitely there. It's nice. It does what it says on the box very well.
Yeah, I quite like it. I think, you know, it's not too punchy. It's, you definitely get the coffee flavour through, you get the porter flavour through, so, yeah, it's a good beer.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my four, which is what I originally gave it.
I think a four is,
See, personally, I think it needs a little more punch, but...
You're allowed to be wrong.
That's right.
It's fine.
I mean, you are wrong, and you're allowed to be wrong.
It's all those Berliner Weizen and many other beers he's been drinking.
Well, I did actually have a Berliner Weizen where they add like a some sort of... It's almost like an ice cream topping to it.
An Uber Weizen.
Yes.
An Uber Weizen.
It was awful. It was fucking awful. But anyway, all right. So let's not go for Untappd reviews because we're kind of out of time. So I'm going to give this actually a 3.5.
Yeah.
Christoph Scout.
Yeah. But I know.
Majority wins.
Majority wins. Which is us.
Which is us.
Alrighty, team. So this has been the end of the second part of episode 1 of season 3. Which is...
And we didn't even get around to talking about everything we thought we would.
I know. We had a giant running sheet and like a super long email to actually set this up to begin with. So I think we did all right.
Yeah, people just have to wait until next week.
That's exactly. Right. There are more stories, many more stories.
There are many more stories.
That will be told.
So we will be back next week, but it's lovely to, you know, be back in the chair again.
Yeah, it's good.
And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter Face. We don't have a LinkedIn account. I'm sure we could do one if we had to. My face.
Book twit.
Yeah. All of the social media. We don't have Pinterest. Pinterest would be strange.
We don't have Pinterest.
Let's
but ironically, the length of a beer would make for a very good... But we're not
going
to do that.
No. We're not going Pinterest. Anyway, we will see you next week or hear you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.